feel like preaching now. Let's turn to the book of 1 John again, chapter 2. Again, we do appreciate each one that gives the devotionals their real blessing to hear each one. Been looking at verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought, which implies a duty, himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Last few weeks we've been looking at what it means to abide in Christ. We've seen some results of abiding in Christ. Again, you have to be in Christ before you can abide in Christ, and we're in Christ by the grace of God. And then it becomes our responsibility to abide. And by abiding, we learn from John chapter 15 that we become fruitful. By abiding in Christ, we become fruitful. By abiding in Christ, we find the careful care of the Lord. We see that the Father purgeth each branch. He's the husbandman. We see also that abiding in Christ, we certainly have a nearness to Christ, of course. And there is spiritual enablement. We'll be able to do many things when we abide in Christ. We also see that we'll have power in praying when abiding in Christ. We'll know how to pray. We'll ask according to His will. We'll pray according to His will. The result of that is we find great success in praying. We see also in John 15 that abiding in Christ, God is glorified. God is glorified by the fact that we bring forth much fruit. John 15 and verse 11, we see that by abiding in Christ, we have fullness of joy. And that brings us to this final result of abiding in Christ. And we see that here in verse 6. And that is conformity to Jesus Christ. When we abide in Christ, we live as Christ lived. John, here in 1 John chapter 2, made reference to this when he said, ought himself so to walk, even as he walked. John taught that the one who professes, and again we keep saying over and over, you can profess anything, doesn't make it so. But the one who professes to abide in Christ, their outward walk will correspond to their profession. You see, our outward walk corresponds to our spiritual condition, corresponds to the condition of our heart. So he says, he that saith he abideth in him ought. Okay, it becomes his duty. Once you profess Jesus Christ, you have a duty. You have a responsibility. So just the mere profession of Jesus Christ immediately brings a duty. Yet today, many want to profess Christ and be free of all responsibility to Christ, be free of all duty to Christ, but the very moment you profess, whether the profession's true or false, and the profession will be proven to be true or false, but whether the profession is true or false, as soon as you profess Christ, you have a duty. And your duty is, notice, to walk ought himself. Himself is personal. This is becomes a personal responsibility, a personal duty. But then notice the next word, also, which means in addition to, which of course goes back to what he professes. He that saith he abideth in him ought, duty, himself, personal duty, also, that is, in addition to professing Christ. So many today think that is sufficient. I profess Christ, that is sufficient. That is sufficient to get me into the church. That is sufficient to give me some responsibilities in the church. That is sufficient to give me a position of leadership in the church. That is not sufficient. There is an also here. In addition to the profession, also, and then notice that very next word, so. We read over that word on many times. Also, so. And the word so, of course, speaks of a great extent. So we are to, in addition to our profession, we have a duty in addition to our profession, and that is to a great extent, to walk, and then notice what it says, as, in like manner, as he walked. Our walk is to correspond with what we profess. And if we abide in Christ, we will be conformed to Christ. Romans chapter 8, we see the plan of salvation is laid out. That is, there is foreknowledge, there is predestination, there is justification, there is glorification, and it's all for the goal of what? To be conformed to Him. That's Christianity. Conformity to Jesus Christ. But there is a very popular movement, if you want to call it that today, who people profess salvation, and oh, how offended they get if you even dare question their profession of salvation. But every one of us has every reason to question one's profession if their walk does not line up with their profession. Then you have every right. In fact, you would be foolish not to question their profession. People say, well, that's being judgmental. Again, there is a difference between being judgmental and making proper judgment. God does not tell us not to make judgments. We're not to have a judgmental spirit, and there is a difference, and that's a different message. So we are to walk as Christ walked. And it is as we abide in Christ that we have the power to do that. That we have the power to be an imitator of Christ. Ephesians 5 verse 1 tells us that we're to be followers of Christ. That word followers means imitators of Christ. Now, if you're going to imitate someone, you've got to study them. You've got to know what you're imitating. And so if we're going to be imitators of Christ, we have to know Him. We have to study His person. We have to study how He walked. We have to study how He behaved in certain situations, because that's how we're to behave. We're to study and to know how He handled things, because we're to act as He acted. We're to be in conformity to Christ. So we are to walk as Christ. First of all, we're to walk as Christ in purity and in holiness. 1 Peter 1 verse 15, which is a quote from the book of Leviticus. Be holy, for I am holy. That is, we are to imitate, we are to conform to His holiness. Not to man's definition of holiness. Man's definition of holiness does away with holiness. We are to imitate and be conformed to His purity to His holiness. And if we would just do that, the world would immediately see something very odd about us. They would immediately notice a difference. As soon as you and I begin to manifest the purity, this world is not interested in purity. Everything in this world is defiled. And man continues to defile everything. And man thinks that which is defiled is somehow good. So when someone comes along and manifests purity, it doesn't matter what part of our life we're talking about. If we manifest purity, the world immediately sees that. Not only do they see purity, they are immediately offended by purity. Isn't it amazing today that the world is not offended by defilement, but they are offended by purity? And the reason they are offended by purity is because it makes them look worse. I mean, that's plain and simple. The reason, if a child of God lives right and manifests purity, and as Brother Art was saying, takes a stand on the side of purity and holiness, the world is not going, for the most part, is not going to appreciate you. The world, for the most part, is not going to like you. I'm not saying that there aren't some that will, but for the most part, the world, they're not going to want anything to do with you. Nothing at all. Because you offend them. You offend them. And you cause them to feel guilty. And today, man wants to live in sin without any guilt whatsoever. So if you come along and manifest purity, cause him to feel guilty, guess what? He doesn't want to be around you. So it really doesn't come down to, well, I've got to separate from these people. You live like you're supposed to, and most of them will separate from you. And you won't even have to consider, I've got to separate from this friend, I've got to separate from this person. They'll do the separating. So we are to be in conformity, in purity, and holiness. Then notice in Psalm 40, the 40th Psalm, verses 7 and verse 8. And I believe this is a Messianic psalm. These words speak of Christ. Then said I, verse 7, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Christ was obedient to God the Father. He not only was obedient, he delighted in the will of God. He took pleasure in the will of God. What does it say when someone professes Jesus Christ and they always want to argue against what God says? What does that say? What does that say of their so-called profession? Well, it speaks volumes to me. You see, when we are abiding in Christ, we delight to know, what does God want me to do? We want to know that. And we appreciate it. If someone points out to us, this is what God wants you to do, we appreciate that. You only get angry if you're not abiding in Christ. How is it that people can profess Jesus Christ, get infuriated when you suggest the will of God to them? The will of God infuriates them. The law infuriates them. How many who profess Jesus Christ, their favorite word is, well, that's legalism. And again, as we always say, I'd rather be legal than illegal any day. But you see, they're trying to defend that which is legal. And they're trying to find loopholes to get around obedience. That doesn't say much concerning their profession. That doesn't give us much confidence in their profession. Just like a politician can stand up and say anything. That doesn't make it so. A salesman can tell you anything, but that doesn't make it true. And one who professes Jesus Christ can give you this testimony, that doesn't make it so. There has to be, the life has to conform with the profession. Again, I remember a young man that we worked with in Paducah. He professed Christ, always went around talking to people about the Lord, and he lived an ungodly life, did drugs, smoked cigarettes, on and on I could go. Carried his Bible into work every day. I mean, it was a mockery. And finally, one day, I pulled him aside, and his name was Clay. I said, Clay, don't bring your Bible to work anymore. You shouldn't be carrying it, because everything you do is contrary, and you're making it hard. You're making it hard to be a witness. You talk about somebody who's offended, but it's the truth. If you're not going to live the life, don't profess that you know him. Because, again, I'd have much more respect for someone who didn't even profess it than someone who professes and lives contrary to what they profess. Because the one who professes and lives contrary does far more damage than the individual who makes no profession whatsoever and they live an ungodly life. And that's not defending an ungodly life. But the one who professes and denies Christ in their life does great damage. We see also, if we're going to imitate Christ and if we abide in him, we will. Notice in Philippians chapter 2, very familiar verse of Scripture. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now notice, let this mind, not only is our outward conduct to conform to Christ, our way of thinking. It scares me to hear the way that some of God's people think. And immediately someone will say, well, if they don't agree with you, that's not it. Their thinking is entirely strange to what God teaches. Their thinking is even bizarre compared to the world's thinking sometimes. Now, it's scary. And I'm sorry, but when a person's thinking is even bizarre to the world's way of thinking, I believe that's demonic. Let this mind be in you. So we're to think like Christ. We're to look at things like Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought, there it is again, mind, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He denied himself. And the reason he denied himself was, again, it began with a thought process. It began with the way he thought. And we need to often examine our minds. Because whether we realize it or not, we are bombarded every single day with humanistic philosophy. We are bombarded every single day with the devil's teaching. Everywhere we go, it cries to us from billboards, TV commercials, TV, radio. Everywhere you go, you're bombarded. And if you're not careful, you will begin to think like the world. It'll get in your mind. And it's sad, but all of us think more like the world than we should. We've all been affected to one degree or another. No one here can say, well, the world's thought process has absolutely no effect on mine. Well, it does. It does with all of us. And that's sad. But we need to guard our minds. And we can, and when we begin, I mean, it's scary. When you begin to agree with some but it doesn't have an ounce of sense, talking on TV, and you begin to think, well, you know, that might be, he might be right. You'd better get on your knees right then and there, because your thought process is going astray. So we need to make sure that our mind is in conformity with Jesus Christ. And we'll continue next week, but again, the point is that if we abide in Christ, we will walk as Christ. And it is our duty, it is our responsibility to be conformed to Christ. As children of God, we should have no desire whatsoever to be identified with this world, to be conformed to this world, but that we would be identified with Jesus Christ. Everywhere we go, whether it be school, whether it be work, whether it be in our neighborhood, wherever we go, we ought to be identified with Jesus Christ, and we ought never, ever, ever to be ashamed of such an identity. And we ought never to be ashamed to tell somebody what we believe, even when we know they're not going to like it. Tell them anyway. Let them know. People need to know where we stand. And they can know this a lot of times by just observing the way we live our lives. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer.